Okay. First, I want to say, as always, thank God for the opportunity to, you know, talk about His Word, man. Thank Him. Any platform that is given is always a pleasure. And thank my pastor and my mama, my pastor and my mama, for letting me, you know, have this platform, for sharing her platform with me in such a humble way. Thank the Lord for giving me the Bible study. So this is my first time teaching a Bible study that I could think of. And the pastor said that she hope you got your notes in your Bible. I do too. So we're going to dive right into, we're in the story of Joseph. And I'm going to give a recap, but you could go to Genesis 37. And the third verse, Genesis 37, third verse, and I'll read it for everybody. And it reads, "Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons, because he had been born to him in old age, and he made a coat of color. An ornate robe," is some of them say, "for him." It said, "And now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons, because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made an ornate robe for him." A coat of many colors, an ornate, the special coat. That's what people called it. So I kind of started off on Father's Day talking about favor, man. And we kind of started talking about this story, how Joseph was the youngest at the time, man, firstborn of Rachel and Jacob. Jacob had sons and daughters by his other wives, but Joseph was the first of him and Rachel. He was special. Joseph was old. Rachel was kind of old too. Rachel couldn't bear a child all the way up until then, and just like Sarah and Abraham. So I guess, you know, Jacob was just reliving his granddaddy's blessing of having a child, a son, at old age. Jacob loved Joseph. Like, he loved Joseph, and the Bible didn't sugarcoat it. It didn't make it sweeter. It was like Joseph was Jacob's favorite. The brothers didn't like it. The brothers made a plan, and I'm just recapping you guys into where we are tonight. The brothers made a plan, and they had him sold off to Arabs, a caravan of Arabs, rode past the pit that they threw their brother in, and they sold him to the Arabs, and then the Arabs eventually sold Joseph into to Potiphar. And Joseph got into some trouble at Potiphar's house. Well, he didn't really get into trouble on his account, but he was a man of integrity. I mentioned that. And Joseph, ended up in a situation where he had to practice self-control like no other. Potiphar's wife was trying to get a hold of him, and he just wouldn't go. You know, he said, "Man, I can't do this. Like, I'm in a great position with your husband, woman. Man, God has favored me, and I'm just trying to stay on that right path." So Joseph definitely practiced self-control, and I'm saying that for a reason. And then so Potiphar's wife tried to have sex with him, of course, and he didn't go. And Potiphar's wife ended up lying on him, saying that it was Joseph trying to get at her. So Potiphar was mad, threw Joseph in prison. There was a cupbearer of Pharaoh and a baker, the king of Egypt, and they got locked up too. So then Joseph ended up hearing their stories, their dreams, and he ended up interpreting their dreams to them. And one of them, the cupbearer, he remembered Joseph 2 years later when Pharaoh had a dream and nobody couldn't interpret it. So the cupbearer's like, "Hey, I was locked up with this guy, and man, he was definitely on point. He was like accurate with my dream." So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and Joseph ended up interpreting Pharaoh's dream, and then Pharaoh was very well impressed, was shocked actually, and Joseph ended up telling Pharaoh, like, hey, it's basically about his dream. It's about to be a famine in the land. You're going to have 7 years of good times, good crops, man, 7 years of abundance, and then it's going to be 7 years of famine. He was like, basically, you need to find somebody who you need to put in charge that can manage everything. And Pharaoh thought, you know, precisely of who he was going to pick, and he came right back around to Joseph and was like, hey, Joseph, you should be that guy. And that's how Joseph ended up second man in charge of the entire land of Egypt at the time. So we talked about on this past Sunday, man, how Joseph became a plug, and that's just kind of how he kind of plugged. But I wanna kind of like dive deeper into this a little bit. So we're gonna go to Genesis 45. Verses 25, 26, 27, and 28. And then we're going to go to Genesis 46. But Genesis 45, verse 25 says, so they went up out of Egypt and came to their father. So this is after Joseph has seen his brothers, and they basically, their father Jacob sent them to go buy food from Joseph, not knowing it was Joseph. And Joseph basically recognized his brothers and was like, man, to himself, these are my brothers. So it messed him up emotionally, but Joseph had tested them. He had them to leave one of their brothers, Simon, out, and to go back to go get Joseph's whole brother. They were his half brothers, but he had a whole brother, Benjamin. And so he had them to go back and told them, you guys can't come back without Benjamin. And if you do, basically it's a route for you. So they had to go and, man, they had to tell their dad, hey, we gotta take Benjamin back with us, because the dude was very mean to us. It's in the Bible. He's like, he talked so crazy to us that, man, he questioned us about everything. And, man, he said that we have to bring our brother back. So this is Genesis 45. 25. So they went up out of Egypt and came to their father Jacob in the land of Canaan. They told him, Joseph is still alive. In fact, he is ruler of all of Egypt. Jacob was stunned. He did not believe them. But when they told him everything Joseph had said to them, and he saw the carts Joseph had sent to carry him back, the spirit of their father, Jacob, revived. And Israel said, I'm convinced my son Joseph is still alive. I will go and see him before I die. So the first time that the brothers met up with Joseph, not knowing it was Joseph, he kept Simon, sent them back. Then they came back with Benjamin. And Joseph, man, he couldn't hold himself. He couldn't hold it together. So he sent them off, but he put more silver in Benjamin's pocketbook, purse, if Gucci bag. He put more silver in Benjamin's Gucci bag. And while they was on their way, Joseph sent his servant, said, go get them. Tell them come back here. So they're like, man, oh my God, what we have done. The brothers are going crazy. They don't really know it's Joseph. And they end up finding the silver in Benjamin's bag. And so they're trying to explain themselves. And Joseph realized then, man, that he couldn't hold it in no more. And he broke down, all the way down. And he was like, hey, this is me. It's me, Joseph. It is me, Joseph. So at that point, you have to ask yourself, I mean, this is me thinking. I'm thinking to myself, and I'm like, number one, why didn't Joseph just ever go back to tell his dad that he was alive? Like, you became the man. You are the man, Joseph, of all of Egypt. You're second in charge. Like, you can say, I need the fastest horse. And where they were placed in Egypt, weren't that far from Canaan. So, like, you could have said, bring me the fastest horse and let me just go tell my daddy it's me, Joseph. Why didn't Joseph go back to tell his father, hey, I'm still alive? Why didn't he try to get back to them? So I did research, and man, I couldn't find much, but the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, number one, one of the reasons why he didn't go back to tell his dad, because he knew he was on a God assignment. He knew he was on a God assignment. Like this, I'm in position. This is God ordained. And this is who I got to do. I'm positioned with power to manage the land, to take care of, man, all of this. So I'm on assignment. So why should I go back to the place that I was left in the pit, right? So I was thinking that, man. And sometimes, how can you apply that to your life? Anytime you think about, okay, I want to go back to do some things that probably, you know, or hang out with some people that God once separated me from. You know, Sunday I talked about how God caused a crisis to change Joseph's circle. And sometimes, man, God will disconnect you from your comfort zone, whether it's with people or just whether it's with whatever you're most comfortable at. God will disconnect you from your comfort zone and with no intentions of you going back to it. So Joseph was a man who was very close to God at this point. So I'm thinking to myself, like, Joseph, I would have went back. Hey, if my mom and them knew to know that I was still alive, me, Mike, as a person, like, it wouldn't sit well with me that I'm right up the street. Hey, I'm in Collierville, not literally, but figuratively. I'm in Collierville. You just in Whitehaven. I could just jump in a truck and roll down 20 minutes and tell you that, like, I'm still alive. But Joseph was so focused on the current assignment. And sometimes, y'all, man, we have to stay focused on our current assignment. We cannot let the things of the past knock us off. So that's one of the reasons why he couldn't go back into his land where, like, they left him in the pit. The second reason, Joseph was a prophet. Like, he's not described as a prophet in the Bible. But think about it. He was prophesying when he was a boy. He was telling them about his dream. God spoke to him in a dream. And he was one of the ones who was able to interpret other dreams. He had a gift of prophecy. And Joseph, because he saw it, he believed it. He never doubted his dream. So he knew that it was going to come a day. It was going to become a day, because in his dream, in Genesis 37 and 6, verses 6 and verses 9, he was telling them two different dreams. Verses 6, he talked about to his brothers, hey, basically, I'm going to be rulers over y'all. And then verse 9 in Genesis chapter 37 and verse 9, Joseph said it was the sun, the moon, and 11 stars. So that suggests to Joseph that it was his family, like, that he was ruling over. So Joseph knew that, hey, this dream hadn't yet been fulfilled. So that's one reason he couldn't go back, because he knew that, man, hey, this prophecy has to be fulfilled. And sometimes, man, when you know that you know, as my mama would say, when you really know that you know, you just got to stay forward. You got to stay focused. You got to stay forward. And you know that God showed you something. You just got to keep going. You just got to keep believing, no matter the circumstance. Now, this man done been sold off. He done been thrown in the pit. He done been sold off by the first group of people who bought him. Then he was sold off again, and he was sold off from his brothers. Then he was sold off from the first group of people. Then he was put in prison. Now he's in Pharaoh's situation. This man had been through a lot, but there's no scripture that suggested that Joseph doubted his dream. So he knew that, hey, there's an end goal that I'm trying to get to. And sometimes you got to be able to withstand absolutely everything until you get to what God's shown you. I used to have a saying, man, you got to keep believing what God says until you see what God says. And God showed Joseph when he was a young boy. Now, at this point, where we at in 45, he was 30. But when he first got, when they first moved to the land that his folks from, Hebron, that's how they are known to be Hebrews. When they first, he was 6 when they first got there. When he started talking about his dreams, he was 17. So now here he is, 30 years old. And the prophecy that God gave him when he was younger hadn't been fulfilled yet. So he knew he still had a mission. He knew he still had a mission. And I just wanted to, I want to encourage somebody at that point, to that point, man, do know that you're on a God assignment. And when God has delivered you from things that probably was bringing you down or people, don't go back. Don't go back. And then stay focused and stay and keep grinding it out until you see what God has shown you. Don't never stop. My word is grind. Don't never stop your grind until you see what God has shown you. God shown Joseph this, and Joseph is in this great position, but he hadn't seen yet what God shown him in manifestation with his natural eyes. So he knew that there's still some more to come. So you got to keep going. You got to keep believing. You got to hold on to the word. So why did I start off with Genesis 45 and 25? Because I wanted to point out some things here. I want to talk about Jacob tonight, and we're going to finish next week about when they reunited. But I want to talk about Jacob a little bit for the next couple of minutes. So I started in Genesis 45, verse 25, because this at this point, the brothers know that Joseph is alive. They've seen him. And one thing that's great about Joseph's countenance or positioning and spirit. One thing that was so, in my words, was so incredible that Joseph tested his brothers. He tested them out. He needed to know, I know these are my brothers, but I need to know that these folks are not the same. For whatever reason, I needed to know that before I can just hand them blessings like this, I need to know that, man, their hearts has changed. And Joseph sent them on a test. He tested his brothers. And so after he was himself convinced that, hey, okay, now I need to reveal myself to them. He revealed himself to them. And then here we are when they get back to their father, Jacob. When they got back to their father, Jacob, they told Jacob, hey, Jacob, in verse 26, Genesis 45, 26, they told him, Joseph is still alive. In fact, he is ruler of all of Egypt. Jacob was stunned. He did not believe him. Jacob was stunned. I would be kind of stunned myself if you ask me. It's been this long and I ain't seen my son. And man, so now y'all, now Jacob know his sons. Now here y'all go talking about, this man is a lie. Y'all was the ones who said y'all saw him get ate by a ferocious animal. Now here y'all are talking about this man is alive. Come on now. Come on now. So Joker was stunned. I mean, that would be some pretty stunning information. then it says that in verse 27, Genesis 45, verse 27 says, but when they told him everything, he said to them, when they told him everything Joseph had said to them, and when he saw the carts Joseph had sent to carry him back, the spirit of their father Jacob revived. The spirit of their father Jacob revived, man. And I want to read a scripture. And we're still in the same story, but I want to read the scripture about Jacob. Genesis 32 and 12. This is Joseph's father, Jacob. This is right after Jacob finished wrestling with the angel all night long. And Genesis 32 and 12 says, but you have said, I will surely make you prosper and will make your descendants like the sand of the sea, which cannot be counted. So this is Jacob's prayer to God, right? This is his prayer to God. Like, this is Jacob's on his way to meet his brother, but he was scared. But he had to remind God, hey, this is what you said to me, man. This is what you said to me. And then the scripture that I really want to point out with that, if you go down Genesis 32:28. Now, this is the angel that Jacob was wrestling with. Then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. Man, think about this. There was a promise on Jacob's life that God gave him even before Joseph was even born. The promise was, I'm going to bless you and your descendants so much that basically it's going to be so many of y'all, it's going to be like the sand, which cannot be numbered. So, man, that was a blessing that, man, Joseph had on his life because his daddy had a blessing on his life. And man, so one of the things that I'm pointing that out for this reason here. In verse 27, it says, but when they told him everything Joseph had said to them, and when he saw the carts Joseph had sent to carry him back, the spirit of their father Jacob revived. Watch this. The spirit of their father Jacob revived. Watch this. And Israel said, okay, what I just read y'all in Genesis 30, no, in chapter 32, in chapter 32, verse 28, the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel. Jacob at that point had a spiritual transformation that happened to him. And watch this. At this point back in 45, where it says 45:28, and Israel said, now the brothers was talking to Jacob, their father, but when he opened his mouth after, watch this, after Jacob revived, after he got a word from God and he revived and he believed, and you know, he allowed God to just come in, it says, and Israel said, now they're the same person, but Israel said, I'm convinced my son Joseph is still alive. I will go and see him before I die. That is so powerful, y'all. I'm going to tell y'all why that's so powerful. That's so powerful because a couple of things that happened here that, man, we just got to make note of. Number one, Jacob heard a word. Initially, he was stunned. But he heard a word now. He heard a word. Initially, he was stunned. All right. Then he kept hearing the word. They kept talking about it. They kept saying, I'm telling you, Dad, he alive. This is everything he said. And this is what he sent. So he heard a word. Then he saw a sign. Okay. And then his spirit revived. Listen, what that suggested is, this man been mourning for a long time. For a long time. He been down. Some things has, man, had him stressed out, frustrated, man, just mad. Whatever emotions, rightfully so, that he felt, he had. Just like us, man, whatever struggles we got, whatever things that got us frustrated, your business may not be flowing the way you want it to flow. Your ministry may not be flowing the way it wanted to flow, or your finances, or whatever it is that got you frustrated. This dude has been frustrated, and rightfully so. But then he heard a word. Then he heard a word from his sons. And then he kept hearing the same word over and over again. Watch this. That suggests to me, and this was his sons giving him this word. But listen, man, you cannot detach yourself from the word of God. The word of God is that really tool that, like, we got to have to, man, convince ourselves that everything is going to be all right. the word that Jacob heard revived him. But Israel said, so this is spirit man starting to speak. His spirit got so strong. His spirit said, I am convinced that my son Joseph is still alive. Man, sometimes you got to hear a word. You got to believe it in your spirit. When it hits your spirit and you get convinced, you can prophesy and you can speak that thing. So after it hit his spirit and after he got convinced, he began to speak. He said, my son Joseph is still alive. Man, what in your life that you may feel like is dead? What in your life that you may feel like, man, you probably want to give up? Keep coming to the word, or keep going to the word. Keep seeking the word, and it's going to hit your spirit. You're going to get revival. Watch this. We talk about Sunday, a plug during the pandemic. But man, if I was preaching tonight, I would talk about a revival during the pandemic. and keep going to the word. Don't ever stop going to the word. Don't ever stop, man, hearing your word. Put it all around you so your spirit can be convinced. When his spirit was convinced, Israel said, my son Joseph is still alive. And then he prophesied. I am recording it. After his spirit revived, he prophesied. He said, I will go and see him before I die. This is Jacob. This is Israel talking. Israel said, I will go and see him before I die. So chapter 45, man, that's where we are. And that's what I wanted to give. That's what I got. That's what I got for tonight. It was like, man, okay, this was good. This was good. In 46, we're going to talk about that they reunion. It's some incredible things happening in that too. But man, tonight, the biggest thing, man, is you have to know that Israel said he had a word. Number one, these things have to happen in order to get to the next level, in order to, especially when we in these times of uncertainty, and we are, man, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what the government got planned. We don't know what the pigs got planned. Now they saying there's a flu in the pig. We don't know what's going on. But these four things has to happen. And it happened in this moment with Jacob. A word, number one, a word has to go forth. Number two, a revival needs to take place. We need to have our own community revival and individual revival. And sometimes your revival can be you getting away, taking some time, refresh your mind, renew your spirit, let God speak to you, so on and so forth. Or sometimes your revival can be linking up with other believers. And man, y'all just, man, as the people of old will say, beseech the throne of God. So number one, a word needs to happen. Number two, revival needs to happen. Number three, proclamation needs to happen. These, everything that happened. And then number four, prophecy needs to happen. If you think about it, he heard the word, Genesis 45, verse 27. But when they told him everything Joseph had said to them, when he saw the carts Joseph had sent to carry him back, the spirit of their father revived. So that's number one and two. When they heard the word, when they told him everything, that's that he heard a word and his spirit got revived. That's one and two. And then after his spirit revived, out of his spirit, he shouted, I'm convinced. That's proclamation. That's verse 28. I'm convinced. He proclaimed, hey, I'm convinced my son Joseph is still alive. I'm convinced my dream, my vision, my organization, my ministry, my finances, my health, my children, my family is still alive. Then he prophesied. Then he prophesied in verse 28 as well. He said, I will go and see him before I die. Those four things took place right then in that moment. Right before they got to their reunion. We've already discovered on Sunday and Father's Day, man, everything up until that point. But right before that he reunited with his son, Jacob, man, these things. And one of the reasons why I believe that, man, Jacob somewhat knew, like in his spirit, that Joseph wasn't dead yet. Because, man, Jacob knew he was blessed. He knew this man wrestled straight up and down with an angel. Straight up and down now. All night long. And then the angel said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel. When it says Jacob was standing up before the people, up before his sons, it says he was stunned. But it said Israel was convinced. Man, do you know, man, God is 100%. Man, Jesus was 100% man and 100% God. So I can understand, like, the Jacob and the Israel. Jesus was walking on land as a man. When the land stopped, he kept walking. He kept walking. So I can understand how Jacob can be stunned. There are some things that naturally happen to us that may stun us, may shake us, may cause us to be frustrated. No, but out of your spirit flows the living water. But the living water can't flow if you don't take yourself to the well. The well is the word. So, man, that's it for tonight.